number of weeks ago, we started this series on four things that the enemy uses. The first one was delay. The second was deceit. The third one was distraction. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those today, but you can write them down. Delay, deceit, distraction. Delay, deceit, distraction. Delay, deceit, distraction. Today we're going to talk about something that is very relevant in a lot of people's lives. How many of you here this morning have ever been disappointed? Let me see your hand. Disappointment. Disappointment. It's a road we've all walked. We've been disappointed in relationships. We've been disappointed in people. We've been disappointed with family members. We've been disappointed with investments. We've been disappointed with the way something's been handled in our life, or the way something's been mishandled in our life. We've been disappointed with our jobs at times. How many here has ever been disappointed with a job? How many has ever been disappointed with a person? Disappointment comes in many different forms and fashions, but one of the things that disappointment is meant to do is to distract us, to cause us to get off into deceit. And when things don't happen, specifically in ratios of time, the way that we want them to happen or the way we think they should happen, we become disappointed. I saw this a few weeks ago, and I wrote it in my notes. It says, disappointment, to magnify the weakness of others. Disappointment can be as to magnify weakness in others, to offend you and to embitter you. Disappointment will offend you, and disappointment will embitter you. How many of you have ever been offended because of a disappointment? How many of you have ever been bitter because of a disappointment? It's two things that disappointment will do, and there's other things it'll do in our life, but those two are prominent, and those two will stand out above everything else in the fact that we become offended. And when we become offended, we become hardened. We become distant. We don't want to associate. We don't want to get together with other people. We want to stay off by ourselves. And the longer that we allow ourselves in that trap and in that snare, the more bitter and the more resentful we become because of the disappointment. Have you ever had some resentfulness enter into your life because of a disappointment? Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. For those of you who may be unaware, that's right after Mark, right before John. Luke 17. A story that I had mentioned just a short time ago. We're going to begin in verse number 11, and I'm going to read through verse 19, and then we're going to expound upon it. Verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off from him, because, you know, they were not allowed to get close to people. Because, and one of the reasons for that, they were so cautious and fearful of something like that spreading amongst the people, that when somebody got a skin rash or a skin disease, or what they referred to as leprosy in this particular story, they put them on the outskirts of town. They were allowed to associate with one another, but they were not allowed to associate with people who were well, because they didn't want an epidemic to break out. They didn't want something to break out from one or two or three or ten in this case to destroy the whole entire village or the whole entire group of people. So they saw Jesus coming, but in accordance to what was spoken of them, they could not get close to him, so they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, verse 13 says, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They brought a request to him. They recognized him as Master, and they realized that the things that they had heard about him, that it was within his ability to have mercy on them, because they had already heard of things that he has done. And so if you are walking in a situation and you've never had something like that in your life, or maybe God has never manifested himself as a deliverer or a healer in your life through a sickness or a disease or a problem, you may have to lean on the fact of knowing someone else that he already has done that for. And so they obviously had heard the things that he had done, or why would they have cried out for him to have mercy on them had they not known he had mercy on other people? And because they knew he had mercy on other people, they had confidence and reassuredness that they could call on him, and the same mercy that he extended to somebody else, he could extend upon them, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is no respecter of persons. Regardless of how bad we may have failed, regardless of how much we may have sinned, listen, I have news for you today, okay? I'm going to share something with you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are following him, you can be 100% assured you're going to heaven. You don't have to wonder, because you did something yesterday you shouldn't have done, that he's going to kick you out. Ken sang today, Ken, he's a good, good father. That's who he is. Michelle, a good, good father ain't going to boot you out if you make a mistake. We've seen earthly fathers do things like that. But we're men. We're not God. And God is not a man that God would do things the way men do them. In our best efforts, in our most valiant efforts to do things the right way, sometimes, Bill, we screw up. Sometimes we mess up. Susan and I's biggest prayer our entire married life, raising our children, is, God, do not let us screw them up too bad. Help us to not mess them up. They're going to have enough opportunities to mess themselves up. Help us not to mess them up. How many know what I'm talking about? You got enough opportunities to mess up on your own, let alone somebody else mess up for you, right? God, help us not to screw them up. God, help us just to be able to keep them alive. I'll never forget, George told me a story very young into Jimmy's life. I still laugh about it. I just said it to Susan the other day. George was in a room with Jimmy, and Jimmy was just a little, just fairly new. You know where I'm going already, don't you? And Jen had worked with us at the daycare for a while, and Jen took care of babies up when they became six weeks old and up. So prior to Jimmy being 6 weeks, George didn't have a whole lot of confidence at that point. I mean, he had confidence in his wife, but she hadn't been with a baby younger than 6 weeks. So George was in the room with Jimmy, and George was saying to Jimmy, it's going to be okay, Jimmy, just hold on. You're going to get to 6 weeks real soon. It's going to be okay. If we can get to 6 weeks, mommy's going to be all right. She got you. We just got to get to 6 weeks. We just can't screw you up too bad before we get there. We'll be all right. How many have ever been there in fear and trembling? You know, I remember when we had a newborn and her belly button, you know, started to bleed a little bit as the thing was rotting off. And, man, we were so afraid. We didn't know what was going on. First time we ever heard croup, it about paralyzed us. Newborn, huh? First time you ever hear that, they're barking like a dog. You're thinking, what in the world? You don't know if it's demon possession or what's going on. Of course, you think it is because they've just kept you up for like 3.5 weeks straight. You don't know. You know, we were fortunate. Ours slept really, really good, but as a good father, your goal is that you want good things for your children. You you want the best for them. And there comes times in life where as children, and we all were children, we grow and we think we know better than moms and dads, right? And so we begin to puff out our chests, right, Logan? We begin to puff out our chests. We begin to, Josh, spread our wings a little bit because we're getting older and we know stuff. I'm 54 years old and I find out I don't know nothing sometimes. Just when I think I know something, I figure out and I didn't know what I thought I knew. You know, how many have ever thought that? But we navigate and we work through life and we're entrusted with little ones and to teach them. And sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we fail. And unfortunately, you know, the earthly father is to be a representation of the heavenly father. The earthly father is to be a representation of the heavenly father. The earthly father is to represent the goodness and the grace and the love and the mercy and the nurturing and the kindness and all of that of God. But sometimes our earthly fathers may have failed in that way. And because we've not been able to always view them as being quite like the heavenly father, we get a mixed skew view of him. We view him as the one who failed us here. But he declared, I am the first and I am the last. And besides me, there is none. Wisdom comes out of his mouth. I've not always spoke wisdom. Sometimes, Tina, I have spoken frustration. Any parent know what I'm talking about? And if you don't, you're lying. How many of you parents have ever spoke out of frustration? And I mean, it's no more coming out of your mouth, and you know you shouldn't be saying. You know, now kids, don't look at them. All the kids are like, yeah, see? We've all spoken out of frustration. And the only reason that is because, Denny, we want the best for them. And we understand sometimes, even though they think we don't, and even though they think we're dinosaurs and they think we're old-fashioned and all of whatever, we understand some things. We may not be rocket scientists. I'll admit to that. But Nathan, sometimes we know what we're talking about, you know? Sometimes we see where they're going and we know they're going to get hurt if they keep going that way. Sometimes we know if they don't listen to what we have to tell them, they're going to face something that they didn't have to face. And we just want them to miss that. Want them to miss that mess. Want them to miss that hard place. Want them to miss that thing, right, George? And we want the very best for them. But sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we fail. And sometimes we speak out of frustration. But God, no. God's perfect in all of his ways. Perfect in all. And I know that's hard sometimes to understand that. I know sometimes that's difficult to comprehend. But these men heard that Jesus was coming through the area. And they had heard last time he came through the area some things that he had done. It's obvious, or they would not cry. We don't need it. We don't need the story to tell us what they had heard. We know they heard something. Because by implication, they would not cry out, have mercy on us, if they had not known he had mercy on someone else. And so they cry out to him. They recognize him. They make their request to him. And as a good father, you know, our children make requests to us. And just like God, There are times maybe we can't say yes to the request because we know it's not the best thing. But that's not always easy, is it? They make a request. Verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, say as they went, They call out to him from a distance. They make their request known to him. His response back to them is, go and show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. As they went was an act of faith. Because as they received the word, they still yet had the condition. But because what they had heard, because of the grace and the mercy that they had heard that he had bestowed on others, they took him at his word. And you and I would do well to take him at his word. If God settles it, or if God says it, that should settle it for us. See, I'm very simplistic in mind and thought when it comes to God. I am very, very simplistic. If God says it, then I want to do it. That's just it. I just have that. I don't know. I've learned from a very young age, God has manifested himself. God has proven himself. God has shown himself so many times in my life, from the time I was born to the time I stand at 54 years of age before you today. God has proven himself over and over and over again that I can trust his heart. I don't always like sometimes the situations, but I trust his heart. And I trust that he is there with me. I trust that he will deliver me out of it. And I trust that he will make the best come for me. I know that he will work it all together so it works for my good, because that's his word. And I trust that. I trust in that. It doesn't mean that there never is a moment of frustration. It doesn't mean there isn't a momentary, but those things are very short-lived. They don't last long. I try to get out of that very quickly. I try to rise above that very quickly, because the enemy will throw thoughts at you on a continual basis. And it's not the issue or the moment of what you may thought, but it's what you do with that thought. It's whether you exercise that thought or you live in that thing, and it defines you. How many of our thoughts have defined us? Not good enough. Well, that thought just defined you. I'm not worthy enough. Well, that thought just defined you. I'm a failure. Well, that thought just defined you. I'll never be any better. Well, that thought just defined you. See, it's not about the thought. The thought will come. It's what we do with it. We cast it down. We take authority over it. We decree and we declare and we stand on the word of God, and we speak the truth of God's word, because if God's not a man, then God does not lie. And if what God says is true, then it's solid and we can trust it and we can stand on it. So if God says go, you're just like today, go. You may not have felt something specific happen in your body, but if God says turn and walk away from it, you're well, then turn and walk away, you're well. But you can say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then chances are you're going to turn and take that thing with you, because you're holding on to something God's wanted to release from you. Have you ever held on to something that you knew wasn't good for you, but you held on to it anyway? Some people find comfort in things at times because they've had that thing so long, or it's been part of their life so long that they don't know any different, and it's their comfort zone. And even though they really, in essence, don't want it to be that way, they feel safe there because it's all they ever knew. If he says I'm well, I want to be well. If he says I'm whole, then I accept being whole. I don't want to be anything less than what he says toward me. Go and show yourselves to the priest. They went, and as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice to glorify God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, which we know that Samaritans and the Jews did not get along very well, and the Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. And the one who came back was a Samaritan. And he came back, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus, and he was thankful. He gave thanks for what the Lord had done in the midst. I think it's quite ironic that the Bible says in this particular part of this verse, and when one of them saw that he was healed, and when one of them saw he was healed. You would think you would know immediately if you were healed. When one of them saw he was healed, he was still going, and all of a sudden he looked down at his hand. Hey, they went not even paying attention to the fact that the leprosy was still there. Their faith caused them to walk down that road as if it were not already there. He wasn't looking at it. How many of you have ever prayed for something and fixated on it? You know, you pray for poison ivy and you keep looking to see if it's gone. Obviously, they just went on their way. And when one of them saw, did you catch that? How many got healed? 10. How many noticed they were healed? 1. And when one of them, they were all healed, but only one of them saw it. You would have thought that they would have looked at each other and acknowledged. I've known people in my life that have been healed from something. We've prayed for somebody, and maybe a week or two later, I'll see them and say, hey, how's that thing? And all of a sudden, oh, you know what? Now that you mention it, I haven't had that pain ever since that Sunday morning. Now that you mention it, they just saw it. But they went and didn't even realize that it had happened. I've known people like that my whole life. I have heard that happen over and over and over again. People I've gone to and say, hey, how about that thing? Was it okay? Were you okay? Yeah, I forgot to even tell you. Well, there were 9 other men that didn't return. See, when the healing comes, our natural response is to give thanks. Our natural response should be, I should say, to give thanks, to return back to God and thank Him. But sometimes in the delay, they could have been disappointed because it didn't happen immediately, and they could have refused to obey Him, and they could have refused not to go to show themselves to the priest. But something about Jesus, when he touches us or when He moves in our situation, a lot of times He requires faith on our part or the part on the person who's making the request to Him to do something. He wants us to step out. He wants us to trust Him in the fact that what He's saying to us will happen. But these men, they trusted at His word, and they took off. They did what He said. But a lot of times, He requires something of us, just as He did them. Go. I don't know how long down today it will be before you notice the difference in what you received here this morning. Maybe it'll be in the middle of the afternoon. Maybe it'll be later in the day. I don't know. Maybe it was instantaneously. 10 were healed physically that day. But Jesus' words to that Samaritan that came back implied something different transpired with him than what transpired with the other 10. There were 10 that were healed physically. But based on the reference of what we see here in this verse, Jesus says, go. In verse 19, arise, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. The scripture says, if you can believe, then all things are possible. It's important that we take time to acknowledge the giver and not necessarily the gift. We have it backwards at times. We love to acknowledge the gift, the thing, when in essence our response should be to the giver and not necessarily to the gift. And when we return, we express our gratefulness and our gratitude toward Him. Delay, deceit, distraction, disappointment. Each one of these things are nothing more than tactics to try to distract us, delay us, to get us off track. But we've got to be able to recognize these things. Delay, deceit, distraction, disappointment. It's just a thing. It's just a thing. And it's meant for nothing more. Delay, deceit, distraction, disappointment. They're meant for nothing more than to get your eyes from where they should be. You know, sometimes it seems like Satan has more patience than we do. Sometimes he just works inch by inch by inch by inch by inch in our life to get a stronghold on us. But if God says we're well, then we are well. If God says he is with us, then he is with us. If God says he will bring us through, then God will bring us through. Why do we become so easily distracted? Why do we become so easily disgruntled? Why do we so easily mistrust the one that can be trusted? You didn't get the job you wanted? You get disappointed. The marriage didn't turn out the way you thought it would? You get disappointed. The healing didn't happen instantaneously when you prayed? You get disappointed. When somebody you love lets you down, you get disappointed. When circumstances and situations don't transpire or work out the way that you want or expect, you're now disappointed. You may have prayed about it. You may have meditated on it. You may have read scripture, sought God's counsel, and still things aren't seeming to work out the way you think they should or when you want them to. You wonder what's happening. You ask God where he is. We ask God, why aren't you doing things? Sometimes we're even left paralyzed wondering how we're going to pick up the pieces of what's going on in our family or in our home or in our situations or at our jobs. We don't at times know what the next move is. What do we do next? To say it's painful is an understatement, isn't it? To say that it's not discouraging is an understatement. No matter the magnitude of the disappointment, if you don't tend to those feelings, it'll cause you to go into a spiral and into a deep discouragement and depression and despair, hopelessness. It'll cause hopelessness. I said for years that the most dangerous person on the planet Earth is someone without hope. You remove hope, that person is capable of anything. Because they have nothing to hold on to. And if we don't deal with the feelings of pain or hurt or discouragement or frustration, the magnitude of whatever the disappointment brought into our lives, and there are some people that have never gotten over situations that have happened in their life. There are people 20 years past an event in their life and have never moved on beyond it because of the distraction of that thing, the disappointment of that thing. And we must know and acknowledge that's exactly what the enemy intended, to wound us so badly by the distraction of that thing that we can never be effective for the kingdom of God, or we can never be any good in anyone else's life, let alone our own life, because we have been so distracted by an event or by a situation or a circumstance. And that's not to minimize or take away the depth of despair that can come through situations and tragedies in our life. There are some things that have happened in our lives that have shook us to the very core of who we are. But yet we stand. Because our feet are planted on the rock. Disappointment is a hard pill to swallow. Nobody likes it. But if you haven't faced it, you will. And if you haven't faced it more than once, you will. But we overcome these things by putting our faith and our trust in God, by standing on God's word, by meditating on the word, by praying, by thinking on the promises of God in spite of the distractions of the enemy. If we think long enough on the distractions, that's all we're going to be, is distracted. But yet we have the promise and the decrees of God right here available to us. And we can think, the Bible says, on these things. And if we think on these things, we can rise above the distractions of the enemy and the deceptive practices of the enemy that will bring deceit, deception, despair, frustration to destroy us. But the choice is ours. It's just like taking an antidote for a poisonous spider bite or a snake bite. If we apply the word, we can wipe out the effects of the traps and the disappointments and the deceitfulness of the enemy. If we'll just trust him at his word and then go our way. You've received the word and you're going to go your way today. But will you go in faith believing? Will you go today believing it's going to be all right? But what if it isn't? Really? Really? Why did you have to think that way? Well, but what if it isn't okay? But what if it but what if a train ran right through this building right now and wiped us all out? I mean, the likelihood of that is pretty You know, Amtrak just isn't going to, I mean, I can stand here right now with all confidence say a train's not coming through that back wall. And I don't even have to be a prophet to tell you that. I can tell you right now that a semi-tractor trailer is not going to crash through that back wall right now. Could a tree fall and take out the back corner of the building? Absolutely. But a train ain't coming through. A truck ain't coming through. Don't have to be afraid of something that isn't real. And for some of you, the only thing that's causing you to be afraid is nothing more than a distraction. And the things that you came this morning to this platform with, this altar with, were meant for nothing more than distractions. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, when you pass through the waters, they will not. When you go through the storm, it will not. When you go through the fire, it will not. All those things are meant to distract us. And they distract us from doing and being who God wants and intends for us to be. Worship team, will you come back to the platform? We're going to close this morning. First and last, the lion and the lamb. How many of you know you've got the lion and the lamb? Justin? Are you with me, Justin? Are you picking up when I'm laying down? The lion and the lamb. Sherry, you know anything about the lion and the lamb? I know you guys probably already worked something out over there. It's probably I wouldn't despair. No? Oh. Lion and the lamb. He is. Don't be distracted that he isn't. That's foolishness. He is. Jimmy, if we just get past 6 weeks, buddy, you're going to be okay. Going to make it, man. We just got to get to that 6 weeks mark and mommy's going to be good. Sometimes we say in life, if I just get through this thing, I'll be all right. Allison, if I just get through this week, I'm going to be all right. If I just get through that, if I just get them through high school, we'll be all right. If I just get them through college, I'm going to be all right. If they just get through that thing, they're going to be all right. How many of you know there's an always get the next thing you're going to get through? You get through the one and there's another one. And you get through that one and there's another one. How many of those things have destroyed you to this point? Boom. Not one of them. Not one of your hardships, not one of your disappointments, not one of your distractions, not one of the most difficult things in your life has destroyed you yet, has it? And yet still some go, but it might. I am the first and the last. Come on, will you stand with us this morning? We're going to pray. And then we're going to declare this great song as we leave today. We're going to decree the greatness of our God, the might and the power of our Savior. Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, that you are the first, that you are the last, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you today, Father, that you are not a man that you would lie. I thank you today that out of your mouth you spoke things and they came into existence. That you give us the example of that, that we speak all the time. And what is the power of our words? What are we creating with our words when we speak? I want to create today that it is well with my soul. I want to declare and decree today that you are the first and you are the last. I decree and declare today that no weapon formed against one of us should prosper. No tongue that would rise up against us would succeed. No sickness or disease. No hardship, no trouble. No pain, no suffering. No storm, no fire. You have proven to us over and over and over again through your word, through stories, that we can see your power and your might. Help us today to realize it. And help us when we leave this place to go with just a tenacity about us, that we know, that we know that our God is good. We know that your mercy endureth forever. We know that your love is overwhelming. That your peace surpasses all understanding. You are the lion and the lamb. You are the ferocious warrior, but yet you are as gentle as a lamb. You are our God, and we are your children. We give you praise today for everything that has transpired in this place, as we now lift our voices and give you the praise.